Whether it's audiobooks or all-time greatest hits, long live listening to your favorites. Learn more about Kisqali Ribociclib 200 milligrams at KISQALI.com and talk to your doctor to see if Kisqali is right for you.
To the Republicans in that gubernatorial race did not get 40% of the vote. Victoria Spartz running for Congress again, defeating her challengers in the 5th District, did not get 40% of the vote. Jefferson Shreve winning in the 6th District against Mike Speedy and Jameson Carrier did not get 30% of the vote. There's a story here, ladies and gentlemen. There's a very large story here. Tony Katz, 93 WIBC, good morning. Good to be with you. This is how it went down. Oh, and then we'll get to what happened in the 7th District, where Jennifer Pace wins the nomination to take on Andre Carson. Jennifer Pace passed away in March. So we're not done with this by any stretch of the imagination. These results, some are going to argue, well, this is exactly what we expected. Tony, I told you it's exactly what was going to happen. Well, you're a genius. You didn't tell me this was going to happen. That these numbers speak in volumes. And they tell us a story as much as they tell the candidates a story about what we really think of them. Where we really felt ourselves. You don't get 40% of the vote? 40%? You should know that 6 out of 10... they thought somebody else would do a better job. What's your plan to get them? Never mind, get anybody else. You're going to go with that? You're going to look at that or not? There is something else to take from this election, which is a look at Eric Holcomb, which I plan on doing today. I have got a series of things that we need to look at. The full results are at WIBC.com. We'll break it down. Tony Katz, that is me, by the way. What's up, everybody? 93 WIBC, good morning.
Whether it's audiobooks or all-time greatest hits, long live listening to your favorites. Learn more about Kisqali Ribociclib 200 milligrams at KISQALI.com and talk to your doctor to see if Kisqali is right for you.
St. Jude treats children across the country and around the world, regardless of color, creed, or financial capability, because they're committed to love and care for their neighbors. Join me in helping St. Jude give every child with cancer the chance they deserve to survive. Together, we can save more lives. Call now to become a partner in hope. 1-800-411-9898. That's 1-800-411-9898.
Had a throwing party for a bunch of children. Well, all the while, the slime was under the building. So they packed up
and closed. This was a very big day. A very revealing day. As you see, their case is totally falling apart. They have nothing on books and records, and even something that should bear very little relationship to the case. It's just a disaster for the DA, for the Soros-backed DA. It's a disaster. This whole case is just a disaster. If you read the legal scholars, you'll see, because they're writing about it, they've never seen anything quite like it.
Admittedly, there is no case regarding Stormy Daniels. Although she took the stand and everybody's talking about it. Oh, they've got so many thoughts. And oh, look what she said. Oh, it's so salacious. There's only one reason why the press is paying attention to this case. And to understand that, you have to take a look at the classified documents case. Tony Katz, 93 WIBC. Good morning. Good to be with you. Find everything I do over at TonyKatz.com. District Court Judge Aileen Cannon has postponed Trump's classified documents trial indefinitely. Let me say that again. This argument that Trump had classified documents, which was supposed to go to trial, has now been delayed indefinitely. Why is that? The judge writing, quote, "The court also determines that finalization of a trial date at this juncture, before resolution of the myriad and interconnected pretrial and CIPA," I'm not a lawyer, so I'm just going to say it is CIPA, "issues remaining and forthcoming, would be imprudent and inconsistent with the court's duty to fully and fairly consider the various pending pretrial motions before the court. Therefore, the court vacates the current May 20th, 2024 trial date to be reset by separate order following resolution of the matters before the court." Translation: when all the other cases and all the other little side things get accomplished and settled, then we'll take a look at this. There will be no classified documents case before the election, one could assume. Now, there is a follow-up to this story. Of course, this is about Mar-a-Lago. And, oh, look, the classified documents in the boxes. And, oh, you wouldn't return them to the archives. You had them behind a locked door at Mar-a-Lago, but was it really locked? If people were walking through, they could have just gone to the restroom, I tell you, and taken a look at classified documents. You didn't even have to go to the bathroom to see classified documents at Joe Biden's place. All you had to be doing was be hanging out with his drug-addled son, and you could see classified documents while you were checking out the Corvette. But no, that's not a story. How dare you, Tony Katz? How dare you? We focus on Trump here. There's a story about those documents. In documents that were unsealed by Judge Aileen Cannon, an FBI agent testified that the General Services Administration was in possession of those boxes in Virginia before ordering Trump's team to come get them. "We've got these boxes. You have to come pick these things up." It turns out that the same boxes that the General Services Administration was holding on to, that ordered Trump's team to pick up and bring back, clearly to Mar-a-Lago, are the boxes that contain the classified markings. Let me say it again for the people in the cheap seats. There are these boxes that have classified documents in them being held by the GSA. The GSA tells Trump's team to pick up these boxes. These are your boxes. You have to come get them. And then there's a raid. And oh, look, Trump has classified documents. What setup nonsense is this? Now, this is the way I read the reporting. I would like to know more about this. I would like more research into this. Because that is the ability to be able to say, my God, you set up the former president. The Biden administration set up the former president. So you have this classified documents case, which is now falling apart. But that's not where we started. We started with, why are people paying attention to this nonsense hush money trial Stormy Daniels case? Because it's salacious and titillating and all those kinds of things. Oh, sure. It involves sex and sex cells and all the jazz. The only reason they're paying attention to that case is because it's the only thing left. And they is clearly the political left in the media, but I repeat myself. The Fulton County case, those RICO predicates, well, that all fell apart when you realized that Fonnie Willis couldn't keep it in her pants. That she was having a sexual relationship with the prosecutor, Nathan Wade, who she had on payroll for more money than anybody else, and who was taking her on vacations, and she was allegedly paying him back with cash. wasn't a vacation that got paid back. It was a kickback. You see, that is the way all normal people look at it. That's the way everybody on the bar stool and everybody in the barber chair looks at it. It was a kickback. Nathan Wade was the hired help in more ways than one. And that has fallen apart. And the ethics issues with Fani Willis are massive. The case may proceed. But it will always be looked at as a, that's embarrassing. We now can't really be behind her. The case regarding January 6th, people have made up their minds regarding January 6th. And it's in front of the Supreme Court right now about ideas and concepts of immunity and presidential immunity. And the court has not signaled that the immunity is 100% for all things. But they certainly have signaled that there are things that a president does that clearly would be covered. The classified documents case has now fallen apart. There is no case. There is no trial even set. Everything they put together and put in line and all these indictments and clear election interference planned and prepared has fallen apart. The only thing they have left is that Trump may have written a check to somebody whom he had a sexual relationship with to keep her mouth closed, which isn't a felony. And she'll say they never had it. And then there was the testimony yesterday. Nobody thinks that this is something. But when you have a thirst, you'll drink the sand. That's where the political left is right now. Thirsty, thirsty, thirsty. And all they have left to drink is this sand from Alvin Bragg, the DA in Manhattan. This case about Stormy Daniels. Pathetic.
Whether it's audiobooks or all-time greatest hits, long live listening to your favorites. Learn more about Kisqali Ribociclib 200 milligrams at KISQALI.com and talk to your doctor to see if Kisqali is right for you.
St. Jude treats children across the country and around the world, regardless of color, creed, or financial capability, because they're committed to love and care for their neighbors. Join me in helping St. Jude give every child with cancer the chance they deserve to survive. Together, we can save more lives. Call now to become a partner in hope. 1-800-411-9898. That's 1-800-411-9898.
Whenever I'm out a-wandering, chasing a rainbow dream, I often stop and think about a place I've never seen.
Where friendly
today
folks can gather
on the marketplace,
the rafters high,
with songs
it's,
and tales of yesteryear until they say goodbye.
It's uranium.
Oh my God! Okay, it's happening! Everybody stay calm!
What's the procedure, everyone? What's the procedure?
Stay calm! Well,
that's how they describe it. Uranium salt and pepper shakers with caddy. Tony Katz, 93 WIBC. Good morning, caddy. I assume it's like golf. It just follows you around and then offers you different clubs. In good condition with no chips or cracks, and it's right here in Indianapolis. This was listed 5 weeks ago on Facebook Marketplace. During the show, I sometimes, you know, in between conversations, I like to clear my head a little. Yeah, you know, just get ready for the next thing I want to engage. And so I find myself on Facebook Marketplace just seeing what's going on. And I find things. And this is a salt and pepper shaker with the caddy that I guess it glows in the dark or under a black light. It shows up like in these fluorescent kind of colors. I don't know who came up with this idea. I don't know if it's safe. According to the description, it is in good condition with no chips or cracks. You can do a porch pickup, but you can also meet. No shipping or personal phone number, so please don't ask. No personal phone numbers. That's weird. Discounts for bundles, so check out my other listings. So Matt Bear, you can get more than one thing.
It looks
you
like
get more than one thing from this fine cellar.
Oh, good.
Let's see what else she has. Right. Hold on, wait. Come on. There you go. Show me what else. All right.
I'm looking at the picture, yeah.
Oh, there's like glass bowls, and there's a vase. There's a little Murano glass right there. Murano glass is oftentimes very, very pretty. Here is a Hocking uranium milk glass vitrock. I can't even say all the words.
Uranium?
That's the point.
No wonder
it
glows in
the dark.
The point
is the uranium.
Oh, man.
Here is a set of three Indiana glass avocado green uranium sweet pear serving bowls.
No. I saw Chernobyl. I'm not going.
Right.
Yeah. No.
I also have a fair amount of concern. I don't know what I'm supposed to do with this.
I saw the Manhattan Project. It was a movie when I was a kid.
I saw Dr. Manhattan.
Yeah.
That guy did not have it easy.
Yeah. He
is still struggling.
He hung, you know, whatever.
Right?
Yeah.
You're an idiot.
He hung out. That's what I was going to say. He was a bro. You know.
You're going to have to check out the comic for yourself, everybody. You're going to have to do. So anyway, you can get these salt and pepper shakers. How much are they? $80. $80.
Yeah.
For these uranium salt and pepper shakers with the caddy. It's there on the marketplace.
Looks like a ring toss for perverts.
I'm sorry. Say what now?
It looks like a ring toss for perverts.
It's there on the marketplace. Go check it. It's a pleasure doing the show with you, Ben.
No, yeah, right.
Good Lord, what happened to you this morning?
You don't mean it, but thank you. No,
You know what? You're in a mood, and I'm just going to let that go.
Okay, all right.
I'm going to let that go. I'm going to get you something from the marketplace you're going to love.
Yeah, oh, please order this. I want to put this in the traffic center. I mean, nobody will come back here after it's... I mean, uranium is sitting at the corner of the right. About the time I grow a third arm, everybody's going to...
I don't think it's actual uranium.
Oh, sure it is. I mean, you can't advertise it if it's not.
I'm not sure that it actually is.
All right.
I would be opposed to that.
Who's your hospitality?
Tony Katz, 93 WIBC. Good morning. Meekum Auction is in town, and that means we've got tickets. Tony Katz, 93 WIBC. Good morning, and Matt Bear, I found your Lotus. The Meekum Auction has a 2011 Lotus. I think I pronounce it an Evora, Evora, 3.5 liter, 276 horsepower. That could be yours. You can bid on that at the Meekum Auction. And I have got tickets May 10th to May 17th at the fairgrounds. You go to Meekum.com for tickets and info. I will give two tickets to the seventh caller, 1-2-3-4-5-6-7-3-1-7-2-3-9-93-93. Meekum Auction, the tickets. I'm going. Of course, I'm going. I don't know if I'm bidding. I'm still dealing with the Bronco. It's great. Just little things that happen on a 1996 Ford Bronco. But I'm committed, and therefore, I'm doing this. That's all there is. 317-239-9393. Seventh caller gets two tickets to the Meekum Auction. The primaries that took place last night. Mike Braun is the Republican gubernatorial candidate. Victoria Spartz wins in the 5th district. Jefferson Shreve wins in the 6th. Jim Baird wins in the 4th district. There are some stories, though, here that require our attention. I'm going to start with Jefferson Shreve's victory. 28.38% of the vote, defeating Mike Speedy with 22.05 and Jameson Carrier with 20.15%. Jefferson Shreve did not get 30% of the vote. And I will admit to you that while I have less anger towards Jefferson Shreve than many of my compatriots at WIBC, I am stunned that he won. Stunned that he won. I'm going to say it again, stunned that he won. Jefferson Shreve's an awkward guy, but a nice guy. And certainly in the run for mayor, got it very wrong on the Second Amendment. Wrong. It's what happens when you have bad advice and bad advisors. If you learn something from that race, we'd love to know what it is. And certainly we want to know what it is we're getting in the 6th District when it comes to a reliability of a vote. Because no one knows what it is that you're offering up in heading to D.C. And you might want to let people know. And I would advise that any connection you have to that old team when you ran for mayor, you should burn to the ground, sir. Because those people can't give you good advice. Because you did not win in the 6th on their advice, you won on cash. Now you need to have a vision. You need to know how to shape a vision. You're going to need better people around you. This now takes us to another story. And there are many, many stories. In the race for governor, 6 candidates, Mike Braun got 39.56% of the vote. The winner of the Republican primary did not get 40%. That is a story in and of itself, and I'll get to it. Braun comes away with the win, followed by Suzanne Crouch, who had 100,000 less votes at 130,000. Brad Chambers at 104,000. Eric Doden, Jamie Rittenour, and Curtis Hill. That is correct. Jamie Rittenour, with 28,757 votes, as I have it, beat out Curtis Hill, the former attorney general. Suzanne Crouch, the sitting lieutenant governor, had 100,000 less votes than Mike Braun. I'm going to say two things now that someone might consider rude. I consider it factual. While Suzanne Crouch may do other things, her career in Indiana politics is over. I'm not trying to be angry. I said the same thing about the former vice president. That is, when it comes to elected office, it's over. And it is. I think we all know that. For Curtis Hill, I had questioned out loud whether the activists were really behind him. Based on this, the activists in Indiana don't even exist. To come in last is as clear a signal as any that the answer is no. But you know what I think is interesting? In a race for lieutenant governor, where it's a selection of the delegates, by the delegates are different than the voter. And I don't know what's going to happen there, because I'm not sure what Mike Braun's going to want to do. You're just going to go de facto, and Micah Beckwith, who's been running for lieutenant governor, is going to be the guy, or do you have your own vision? Curtis Hill amongst the delegates is different than Curtis Hill amongst the electorate. But my gosh, that is a terrible showing.
Whether it's audiobooks or all-time greatest hits, long live listening to your favorites. Learn more about Kisqali Ribociclib 200 milligrams at KISQALI.com and talk to your doctor to see if Kisqali is right for you.
When St. Jude opened in 1962, childhood cancer was considered incurable. Since then, St. Jude has helped push the overall survival rate from 20% to more than 80%. St. Jude won't stop until no child dies from cancer. Join me today in supporting St. Jude by calling 1-800-411-9898. That's 1-800-411-9898 to become a partner in hope. Your gift to St. Jude could last a lifetime.
Primaries are in the books, and would you believe it? Donald Trump pulled it out. Who knew? 78% of the vote, 461,000 votes. For President Trump, that does mean Nikki Haley did get 21%, 128,000 votes. Which, that's kind of interesting. But not as interesting as Mike Braun winning the Republican nomination for governor with less than 40% of the vote. Not as interesting as Victoria Spartz winning the Republican nomination in the 5th District with less than 40% of the vote. Not as interesting as Jefferson Shreve winning the Republican nomination in the 6th District, getting less than 30% of the vote. Not as interesting as Curtis Hill coming in last place in the run for governor. Tony Katz, 93 WIBC, good morning. And not as interesting as Jennifer Pace winning the Republican nomination for Congress to go up against Andre Carson in the 7th District. Ms. Pace passed away in March. That is correct. That is absolutely correct. Indianapolis voted for a dead woman to be the nominee. What does one do with that information? Well, one notices that if you were to take a look at results, as I have been taking a look at results, that in the 7th District, this guy who I have never actually commented on, except one tweet when I had no idea who he was, this guy by the name of Gabe Whitley, who the lawsuits and everything else with Rob Kendall and the allegations, the nonsense, he got 3,000 votes, 3,246 votes, 13% of the vote. He came in last place. But 3,200 Republicans voted for the guy, which, well, leads to questions. Kat Ping got 7,300 votes. She's a perennial candidate. So now there will be a meeting amongst Republicans to decide who will run against Andre Carson. I should say it this way, who will lose against Andre Carson, because they don't run to win. The story here is the story of the Republican Party. They do not run to win. And I have no reason to think that they're going to do so today. I have no reason to believe that they are going to make that happen today. I don't know who they're going to pick. I don't know what race they're going to run. But if I have seen anything from this Republican Party, whether it was run by Kyle Hupfer or run by now Anne Hathaway, they don't run to win. The key is to run in every district, to run somebody, to run hard, and to try and get victory. You're just going to go limp in to a race against Andre Carson and not try? When you don't try, you don't get people interested. Why am I teaching this to you? You should know this. You should know this. But all of this leads us in only one direction. And that's the direction of Eric Holcomb. And I have that story coming up. Tony Katz, 93 WIBC. Good morning.
Whether it's audiobooks or all-time greatest hits, long live listening to your favorites. Learn more about Kisqali Ribociclib 200 milligrams at KISQALI.com and talk to your doctor to see if Kisqali is right for you.
St. Jude treats children across the country and around the world, regardless of color, creed, or financial capability, because they're committed to love and care for their neighbors. Join me in helping St. Jude give every child with cancer the chance they deserve to survive. Together, we can save more lives. Call now to become a partner in hope. 1-800-411-9898. That's 1-800-411-9898.
Boy Scouts have decided to put an end to themselves, changing their name, as they have, from the Boy Scouts of America to Scouting America. This way they get to be more inclusive, This way, they lose all of their credibility. Tony Katz, 93 WIBC. Good morning. It's okay to have something just for boys. Boys are different than girls. Boys should be treated differently than girls. They have different needs than girls, and they should be around other boys. They should be around role models that are men, so they know how to be men when they get older. This isn't valuable. This is wrong. Well, you see, they have to let in this one and that one and these people. People identify as this. No, they don't have to do anything. They're allowed to have their organization. It's very strange for a group of people who demand safe spaces to then say, for us, not for you. It's awkward. It's gross. And the Boy Scouts have failed. Now, there are people who are still Scouts, and there are people who have done the hard work to become Eagle Scouts, and I want to respect it. It's impressive stuff. But no. What Scouting has done is failed the basic tenet of the concept. And at a time when there's a desperate need for male role models, a desperate need to understand what it is to be a man, basic skills, the Boy Scouts could have helped, and they decided, nope, not us. Well, we have dwindling membership. We have to do something. You don't do it by just completely turning yourself into something you are not. You don't do it by giving in to people who don't want you to be doing the thing at all. The thing that was important. Masculinity is a good thing and is a necessary thing. And these young men need male role models. They need it. Too much estrogen isn't good. And I know some women are going to be upset with me. I sleep fine. I didn't say estrogen was bad. I said too much is no good. You need male role models. And you don't do that by it's telling the Boy Scouts you no longer get to be Boy Scouts. The popcorn moment. Let's go, let's go, let's go. It's a story you need to hear to believe, then grab your popcorn. Because there is more. There is so much more. I have a series of things that I wanted to get to. A series of pieces, including Joe Biden, who doesn't understand how awkward he is.
This ancient hatred of Jews didn't begin with the Holocaust. It didn't end with the Holocaust either. Or after, even after our victory in World War II. This hatred continues to lie deep in the hearts of too many people in the world and requires our continued vigilance and outspokenness. That hatred was brought to life on October 7th in 2023. On the sacred Jewish holiday, the terrorist group Hamas unleashed the deadliest day of the Jewish people since the Holocaust.
So it was Holocaust Remembrance Day, and now he's talking like this. Where have you been for months? And why is it that you talk about Israelis who are under attack? You talk about never forget, yet shame on Israel for actually fighting back.
Driven by ancient desire to wipe out the Jewish people off the face of the earth, over 1,200 innocent people, babies, parents, grandparents, slaughtered in their kibbutz, massacred at a music festival, brutally raped, mutilated, and sexually assaulted. Thousands more carrying wounds, bullets and shrapnel from the memory of that terrible day they endured.
Can I ask, if that's all true, why do you keep fighting Israel's response to the terrorists who did this to them? It's not that I disagree with his words. I'm actually unbelievably impressed. But why do his actions completely contradict the words in question?
Hundreds taken hostage, including survivors of the Shoah. Now, here we are, not 75 years later, but just 7.5 months later. And people are already forgetting. They're already forgetting that Hamas unleashed this terror. It was Hamas that brutalized Israelis. It was Hamas who took and continues to hold hostages. I have not forgotten, nor have you. And we will not forget.
It is like living in a parallel universe. To hear that, quite literally the strongest thing you've ever heard from Joe Biden, or at least in recent memory, and certainly the most clear. He wasn't slurring, he didn't cough, he didn't say excuse me, he didn't go off on a tangent. He stayed to it. And this is the guy who wants to say that Netanyahu is wrong, that Israeli response is too aggressive, that is holding up ammunition shipments to Israel that are not part of actually the supplemental, they're part of something else. It is the nuttiest thing ever. There is no way to square that circle, guys. I can't do it. I cannot put that together in a way that makes any sense. The thing doesn't make any sense. And why is it that the only thing that is making sense is Senator John Fetterman?
Listen, it's like, I don't know why they seem to, I'm not even sure what they're really, you know, protesting about. If you ask them, they're not really sure. They can't, you know, and now they're not talking about ceasefires anymore. And now they're talking about divesting and harming Israel and that. It's crazy. And they really just broke the mold yesterday when they were had protesters at Auschwitz yesterday during the Holocaust, the 2 mile walk thing. I mean, like, how much more tasteless and disgusting that could be.
There were protesters at the Holocaust Remembrance Day services at Auschwitz. These people aren't pro-Gaza. They're not pro-Palestinian. They are pro-Hamas and pro-eradication of Jews and you. So much so, this is FIU. FIU is out in Florida. Was it Florida International University? And here's one of their students saying, how come you're not protecting us? At least she's completely honest.
In every single protest that we have, our actions have had counter protesters, and there is never any backlash and never police protecting us. In fact, and our police are directly protecting counter protesters, even at our events. So I want to ask you all, is Palestinian life not worth mourning? And we as Arabs, Palestinian, Muslim, and anti-Jewish students, are we not worth protecting?
So you admit you're anti-Jewish students. You admit you're anti-Jewish. Okay. Okay. Yeah. You. Thanks for making my job easy. I appreciate it. I mean, I don't appreciate that you want me dead. To put a fine note on this, there was video out of Greece where mobs were trying to go after Israelis at a hotel. At least that's the way it was described. So you admit that you're anti-Jewish on campus. They're going after Israelis and Jews in Greece. And they asked me, hey, Tony, why are you armed? Buy guns, buy ammo, get trained. I said it once, I'll say it again. These people are telling you who they are. Believe them.
Whether it's audiobooks or all-time greatest hits, long live listening to your favorites. Learn more about Kisqali Ribociclib 200 milligrams at KISQALI.com and talk to your doctor to see if Kisqali is right for you.
St. Jude treats children across the country and around the world, regardless of color, creed, or financial capability, because they're committed to love and care for their neighbors. Join me in helping St. Jude give every child with cancer the chance they deserve to survive. Together, we can save more lives. Call now to become a partner in hope. 1-800-411-9898. That's 1-800-411-9898.
When Greg Doyle of the Indianapolis Star, sports columnist, had that interaction with Caitlin Clark of the Indiana Fever, WNBA superstar from the University of Iowa, I discussed the story because it was a story, and I left it there. Tony Katz, 93 WIBC, good morning. Good to be with you. Find everything at TonyKatz.com. And I left it there because there was nothing else to say. I'm not a fan of Greg Doyle's, but I have no way of knowing whether or not he's a good sports writer or not. I have no way of being able to determine this. What I know is that he writes articles about his cat that has passed. And I said, you have a pet that you lost. It's certainly a sad story. I just don't know if it's a story that you write about. And I had no idea what it does with sports. My argument being in a larger sense that sports columnists should be focused on what's going on in the sporting world. Yet somehow we see way too many in the world of sports think that anything that interests them is therefore something they're an expert on or therefore something that shows, I don't know, some other side of them. Not saying that you didn't lose a pet. I'm saying that I don't know if that's a column. But I would have no way of judging him as a sports writer. The only way I could judge him is that this is a guy who wanted to punch me in the face because he disagrees with me politically. That, I mean, he never did it, but that happened. He said the words, I have the people who I would put on the stand who heard the things. All because we were at a concert together in the same suite. You're lucky enough to get a suite to see, I think it was Elton John, and you're angry? That's not my guy. And I left it. And this whole thing with him and Caitlin Clark, and I said, it's odd, odd stuff. I don't know why he did it. I don't know why he was acting like this, and I left it be. Then Bob Kravitz, another well-known sports writer in Indianapolis, who has let me know to my face, I disagree with you on everything, as if I asked or care. Bob Kravitz reports that Greg Doyle has been suspended by the Indianapolis Star for 2 weeks. He isn't allowed to go to Indiana Fever games. He can report on the games by watching them on TV. He's not going to the games. He's not covering that stuff. Tony Donahue, who is a big IndyCar follower commentator on social media and sports guy, asked a worthy question on social media. Is the Indy Star going to explain why they suspended him? You know, that's a very good question. Why did the Indy Star suspend Greg Doyle? What policy did Greg Doyle violate? Is there a policy that you can point to in an existing Gannett or IndyStar handbook for employees that show the policy that he violated in that press conference, or was this because of the press conference? And if he's going to be suspended for 2 weeks, why did it take so long to bring about the suspension? Shouldn't that have been immediate? How come nobody's asked the Indy Star for a statement? Why didn't the Indy Star put out a statement? Why am I bringing up Greg Doyle? The reason, certainly, is that if I, Tony Katz, were suspended, you'd have commentary from everywhere under the sun. He gets suspended and there's none. When people asked me what I thought, I said the odds were 50-50 he'd get fired. And they were like, he's not going to get fired. And I said, this is the Indianapolis Star. This is Gannett. This is woke on woke. You are on the inside until you're on the outside. And to prove how on the outside you are, they may get rid of you. So I said it was possible. I have no idea if Greg Doyle is good at his job. I have absolutely no idea. I know that in my run-in, if you will, with him, he's not a guy I want to know, and I wouldn't allow him in my house. But I think the question of why the Indy Star did this, that's a good question. Tony Donahue was right. Indy Star, why did you suspend Greg Doyle? We'd like to know. I think you should tell us. Tell us your policies that lead to this decision. Tony Katz, 93 WIBC. Good morning. Card day is around the corner. That's why you need tickets. Tony Katz, that's me, by the way. 93 WIBC, good morning. I got two tickets to qualifying, two tickets to Carb Day. The fifth caller is going to get them, 317-239-9393. Two tickets to qualifying, May 18th and 19th. Two tickets to Carb Day on Friday the 24th. Fifth caller, 317-239-9393. That's how you get to be a part of the opportunity. And who doesn't love a good opportunity, my people? A couple of things about these primaries that took place last night. Mike Braun, your candidate for the Republicans for governor. Victoria Spartz pulling it out in the 5th District. Jefferson Shreve in the 6th District. Man, there was a moment where people were questioning State House District 69, but Jim Lucas, as I'm looking at it, well in the lead there with 57.5% of the vote. A lot of races to look at. But I don't want to look at the races. I want to look at the story. I want to look at the story that Mike Braun got under 40% of the vote and won. Victoria Spartz got under 40% of the vote and won. Jefferson Shreve got under 30% of the vote and won. I need Jefferson Shreve to understand that 70% of your district looked at someone else. I need Victoria Spartz to understand that 60% of the district went in a different direction. And I need Mike Braun to understand that 60% of Hoosiers in this primary looked at somebody else as a better choice. Do not confuse wins with mandates. You didn't get mandates, people I just mentioned. You can't rely on that. By the way, in the 3rd District for Congress, Marlon Stutzman, the former congressman getting the nomination, 24% of the vote. 24%. The man did not get 1 in 4. Jim Baird, on the other hand, got 64% of the vote in the 4th District. 64% of the vote, okay, you're the nominee. You clearly won this. You are under 40%? Well, that's a lot of people. And no one capturing the imagination. You have a lot of work to do. In the case of the race in the 5th District, the race was gross. Congresswoman Spartz, Chuck Goodrich, it was gross. Really was. In the conversation about the race in the 6th, I don't think Jefferson Shreve realizes the amount of heavy lift he has to do within the Republican Party. But in this story of the primary, it comes back to Eric Holcomb, the governor. The total lack of leadership of Governor Holcomb within the party is going to be part of his legacy. He thinks it's going to be all about, look at all the business we brought in. You mean look at all the business Brad Chambers brought in? I got you, sir. We're going to take a look at you and this party. This stand for nothing party. This speak out for nothing party. This stand, share no principle party. This party of, hey, why should I, the governor, be the guy who puts forth a conservative message? Just let it be all about Trump. Let that lead the day. Leadership is not the abdication of responsibility. You didn't endorse in the governor's race because you didn't want to pick sides. Oh, okay. Suzanne Crouch has every reason to hate you. I think Brad Chambers has a couple good reasons, too. You didn't look at any race and say that's not how we do things here when it comes to what happened in the 5th District. Nothing from the governor. While there's a lot to take from these primaries, I will always remember it as the primary that proved that Eric Holcomb is not interested in leading. He's just interested in shaking a hand, taking a picture, and getting out. And honestly, at this stage, that can't happen soon enough. What a waste.
Whether it's audiobooks or all-time greatest hits, long live listening to your favorites. Learn more about Kisqali Ribociclib 200 milligrams at KISQALI.com and talk to your doctor to see if Kisqali is right for you.
Hey, fam. I'm asking for your support. Help us raise money for St. Jude's Children's Research Hospital. Families never receive a bill from St. Jude for treatment, travel, housing, or food, so they can focus on helping their child live. By pledging just $19 a month, you're helping St. Jude give every child with cancer a chance. Help St. Jude save lives. Call 1-800-411-9898. That's 1-800-411-9898 and become a partner in Hope today.
Mike Braun, the Republican nominee for governor, winning the primary. Victoria Spartz winning her primary after saying she wasn't going to run, then getting back in the race. Chuck Goodrich in a close second. Jefferson Shreve pulling it out in the sixth district. Why is that difficult for me? Against Mike Speedy and Jameson Carrier. Tony Katz, 93 WIBC. Good morning. Good to be with you. Braun versus McCormick versus Rainwater. And I will state for the record, because I don't lie and I don't pretend I didn't say what I said, I have real issues with Mike Braun's record, with statements he has made. And I have said I do not know how I support him in a run for governor. I also deal with my reality. Jennifer McCormick has put out absolutely nothing that makes you think she has an idea for how to grow a state and build better opportunities. If it isn't abortion, there is no other subject. Even for her, education seems to be a secondary topic. I have no doubt that Indiana being Indiana, the North and the South being far different than Central Indiana, that Braun has clear advantage and a clear path to a victory. But I'm going to discuss the issues that I have, and I'll discuss them with him. I'll discuss it on air without any level of fear. Outside of Indianapolis, or outside of Indiana, you have the classified documents case against Donald Trump being postponed indefinitely. U.S. District Court Judge Aileen Cannon saying that the finalization of a trial date at this juncture, before the resolution of all these interconnected pretrial issues, would be imprudent and inconsistent with the court's duty to fully and fairly consider the various pending pretrial motions before the court. Therefore, the court vacates the current May 20th, 2024 trial date to be reset by separate order following resolution of the matters before the court. Everything that the left has put in front of Trump, every indictment that was clearly political, every single one, falling apart, which is why they're paying so close attention to the whole Stormy Daniels trial, the hush money trial. It's the only thing they've got. It's the only thing that they can like build a story around. Everything else is a disaster. And the socialist of Indianapolis and the city council there, Jesse Brown, wants you to know that Joe Biden is facilitating genocide with his racist remarks. I assume that the racist remarks that Jesse Brown is discussing or claiming are these remarks right
requires
here.
Requires our continued vigilance and outspokenness. That hatred was brought to life on October 7th in 2023 on the sacred Jewish holiday. The terrorist group Hamas unleashed the deadliest day of the Jewish people since the Holocaust.
I guess that's facilitating genocide and racist. Honestly, I have no words for the Indianapolis City County Council. It's your problem. You're going to have to deal with it as you do. Oh, you know where I am, but this is all you guys. All you. Tony Katz, 93 WIBC. Good morning.
Whether it's audiobooks or all-time greatest hits, long live listening to your favorites. Learn more about Kisqali Ribociclib 200 milligrams at KISQALI.com and talk to your doctor to see if Kisqali is right for you.
St. Jude treats children across the country and around the world, regardless of color, creed, or financial capability, because they're committed to love and care for their neighbors. Join me in helping St. Jude give every child with cancer the chance they deserve to survive. Together, we can save more lives. Call now to become a partner in hope. 1-800-411-9898. That's 1-800-411-9898.
And then the follow on that was you asked these students, have you actually participated in these demonstrations on campus? And what did you find?
Exactly. Yeah. 92% have not participated in those protests. It's only been everything that we've seen on the screens in the last few weeks. That's about 8% of college students. And so very, very, very slim minority. But of those who have not protested, which, again, is 92% or so, 4-1 or so are favorable, are sympathetic to the Palestinian cause.
So it's a good and a bad. The vast majority of college students aren't engaged in any of this nonsense. But if you favor what they claim is a pro-Palestinian side, I have many, many questions about what you think pro-Palestinian is. Tony Katz, 93 WIBC, good morning. Leave that to the side just for a moment. I've got two tickets to the Meekum Auction. It starts May 10th. That is the world-famous Meekum Auction. It comes to Indianapolis every year. That's where I got the 1996 Ford Bronco. Fixing some steering thing. It wasn't a problem at first. It became a problem. So, you know, I bought a car that's 30 years old, people. These things are going to happen. Now I'm going to get it fixed. But your deal is waiting for you. Two tickets to the fourth caller, 317-239-9393. That is the number, 317-239-9393. Two tickets to the Meekum Auction, Meekum.com. Go make that happen right now. Enough with the ridiculous stuff. We got to be focused on what's going on college campuses. We got to be focused on what's going on in primaries. Nah. We need to ask the more important question. When you cut your sandwich, do you do a straight cut, a diagonal cut, or a Y cut? turns out there's a thing that you didn't know was a thing, that I didn't know was a thing, and I still don't know if it's a thing, called the Y cut. So basically, it is taking a sandwich and cutting it into thirds. It's not, you know, straight, but you take the flat part of the sandwich and you cut from the midpoint down. And then right where the bread starts, you know, curving on both sides, you cut from there to that midpoint, and you cut a Y. And now you've got like three sandwiches. And the question is that the way you cut a sandwich, or have we all just way too much free time? I'm looking at a picture. It's not it's not crazy. But like, is that what you want out of a sandwich? Like, I want to hold it in my hand. I want to feel it, and I want to slowly like, you know, chop the wood, slowly make it disappear. I feel like I've accomplished something. This, the Y cut, makes me think that it's finger food. And when it's finger food, it's mindless. You know, pop, 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 pop. Next thing you know, you've had like four sandwiches. These are the questions that keep me up at night. Straight cut, diagonal, or Y? Now, in a choice between the straight cut and the diagonal, I think it depends on the sandwich. If it is, for example, a turkey sandwich, diagonal. If it's peanut butter and jelly, straight. And you say to me, Tony, that makes no sense and could possibly mean you're a serial killer. I'm not saying no. I'm not a serial killer, people, honestly. Who has the time? But it is how I do it. Oh, absolutely how I do it. If it's like a turkey club or something like that, I would do that on the diagonal. Peanut butter and jelly, I would do straight. Larry wants to know on X if the Y cut is anything like a Brazilian. No. That's a completely different thing. Justin leaves the sandwiches whole. He doesn't cut them like a rational adult male. Well played. I think it depends on the sandwich. And I also think it depends. I think it's an age thing. As I've gotten older, like even with my burger, I will cut the burger in half. I will cut the burger in half. Now, it's me. I'm not even eating the bread. I know I'm a terrible human being. It's so sad. I don't eat the bread. I haven't for years. I just can't. I know. It makes me weak. I get it. But if I do eat the bread, I cut the burger in half. That's too much stuff. And things are leaking out, and I just don't want it all to leak out. So I cut it in half. It's a little more manageable. And I'm telling you right now, if I ever run for political office, you will never catch me eating a hot dog. So help me God, you will never catch me eating a hot dog. I'll deal with the knife and fork, and I'll deal with the haters, but you're never getting the photo. Never! Someone is going to play this video back from, or this audio back from me one day. That's going to happen. I leave it to you on the cut of the sandwiches. Right there. I make the subject a little more serious. Found the story. Read it twice. This is about how the 1%, meaning people with money, are taking a look at where America is right now. They're taking a look at levels of panic. They're taking a look at problems. And they're saying, we need to be prepared. So this is an interview with a guy by the name of Bill Rigdon. He's the CEO of Building Consensus. They build security, building security. And he finds himself very busy in the creation of safe rooms, panic rooms. People are looking at this election. People are scared. Scared. Now, first, buy guns, buy ammo, get trained. I never stop saying it. I won't apologize for it. Are we somehow thinking that we're on the brink of the purge? Does everybody think that everything has gotten so out of hand, that everybody is so incredibly nutty, that we're just going to see that level of mayhem on the streets? and in our streets, not just in the streets of New York, but the streets of Greenwood, the streets of Greenfield, in Carmel, in Avon. Is this what we're going to see? You see people preparing, and you're like, is that a bit of overkill? Is that a dangerous way to think? Or are they looking at the world like you're looking at the world and saying it's going to get ugly before it gets better? And if that's the case, what does one do about that? What are we adding to? What are we trying to pull away from? What institutions are we continuing to help build up that are pushing for problems that we, the people, are going to deal with later? If that is the case, how do we stop that? Are we building towards the purge? And the other side of that coin is people are discussing how to cut a sandwich. Not everything is this super heavy thing. But that story was interesting to me. And does that increase if the madness that we see in New York moves to Newcastle, right? Does it, if it hits us in the suburbs, if it hits us in the rural? I mean, we don't really see it even too much in Indianapolis. But if the nights of rioting we had here, and by the way, where was Joe Hogsett for those nights of rioting? If that were to happen on a regular, does that change how you do things? Is that what we have to have? Because we want to avoid that at all costs. The story is interesting to me. The people are looking at the nation and the world and saying, be prepared. And they're doing it with bunkers. Well, what do the rest of us do?
Whether it's audiobooks or all-time greatest hits, long live listening to your favorites. Learn more about Kisqali Ribociclib 200 milligrams at KISQALI.com and talk to your doctor to see if Kisqali is right for you.
Did you know St. Jude has one of the largest pediatric sickle cell programs in the country? St. Jude freely shares the discoveries they make, and every child saved at St. Jude means doctors and scientists worldwide can use this knowledge to save thousands more children everywhere. Join me today in helping to fight sickle cell disease by becoming a partner in hope. Call now 1-800-411-9898. That's 1-800-411-9898.
How bad is it?
Don't sugarcoat it. Give it to me straight.
Want coffee?
I think I need some coffee.
Time to fill up on the news. Tony Katz, 93 WIBC. Good morning. Dow futures right now down 70. NASDAQ futures down 100. Crude oil prices down a buck each. The West Texas is under $80 a barrel at 77, and Brent crude is at 82. These things were closer to 90 a week or so ago. The 10-year treasury holding firm at about 4.48, but really in that 4.5 range. It came down a little bit. The 30-year fixed is unchanged with a national average of 7.35. That's what's happening there. Yet somehow we saw mortgage refinance demand up 5% because there was a dip in the mortgage rates. A dip that was down to 7.18 from 7.29. That's not much of a dip. But people will do anything to get a little bit of relief. And then there's the whole conversation of, do you actually refinance? Is there a value in this? Et cetera. Check with your financial professional. Do what you do. I've made mistakes in this regard. It's not the end of the world. Don't get yourself crazy about the thing. Applications for a mortgage to purchase a home up 2% for the week, but 17% lower than a year ago. I still have not had anybody tell me that prices are coming down. No one has discussed the idea of prices coming down at all. And I find that amazing that there's just no discussion of movement in that regard. I also find it amazing that there are still people on Wall Street who are expecting a rate cut. And what happens if they get it? What happens if they get a rate cut? Inflation beyond here to stay. And so now we look at these things as we've been discussing politically. Does Biden pressure Jerome Powell, chairman of the Federal Reserve, to bring about a rate cut to help him to say, look, everything's going so much better? You don't think that's possible? It's absolutely possible. Also in the news, the United States revoking some export licenses to sell chips to Huawei. These are the correct moves, and it's fascinating that we're seeing this from the Biden administration when they have so much awkwardness, like, for example, on the exports of liquid natural gas, which, why would you stop the exports of liquid natural gas? It's insane. There's just no rationality behind it at all, the radicalness of ideology. Yet somehow it does actually have a shoreline. A commerce spokesperson saying, as part of this process, as we've done in the past, we sometimes revoke export licenses, but we can confirm that we have revoked certain licenses for exports to Huawei. This is the Chinese company, which is to say communist Chinese-owned company. Huawei is looking to gain full control of 5G, controlling the protocols for the Internet of Things. This would be a massive problem for the United States and for the world, and countries like the UK and I believe Canada, for as awful as Canada is under Justin Trudeau, they will not be working with Huawei. And the more that we do to make life difficult for Huawei, which is spelled H-U-A-W-E-I, the more we make it difficult for Chinese technology companies and for China as a whole, the better off we will be. No, you don't get to supply chips to Huawei. And no, communist entities cannot own land in the United States. This is a war, whether you like it or not, and there are rules, and sometimes you're just going to have to say, all right, that's not our market. Which is why we have to be looking at the Apples of the world saying, why are you still building there? You have to starve these people out economically. And they can't be trusted. Just like we have to stop paying the debt we owe them and say, we've paid it through your stealing and giving us COVID. We don't owe you a dime. We have to change the game. You say to me, but the full faith and credit of the United States, that applies to cheaters? That applies to cheaters, liars, frauds, thieves? Nah, I don't think so. Tony Katz, 93 WIBC. Good morning. I'm trying to figure out what this is the theme to.
Dynasty.
Is it? Okay. I could have gone with Falcon's Crest. It seems that producer Carl likes to end the show with obscure television theme songs, which is what's missing from TV today. No themes. They're just you jump right into it. There's no time for a theme song. And so you don't. This I like. We can keep this going. Tony Katz, 93 WIBC. Good morning. Mike Braun winning the Republican nomination for governor. Victoria Spartz winning in the 5th district, Jefferson Shreve in the 6th. These were close races, and these people did not deliver when it comes to getting a plurality. As Mike on X pointed out, you also had a very low voter turnout. Boone County was 19.5%. So you had low voter turnout, and you had candidates not even getting over 50% of the low voter turnout. Man, that is ugly. And that is a lot of money that got spent. A lot of loot. It's what it takes to run for office. I'll tell you, in the governor's race, the thing that was most surprising is that absolutely nobody went for the throat. I'm not talking about running ridiculous ads like we saw in the Sparks-Goodrich campaign. Trying to make a clear delineation between themselves and Holcomb. Never mind themselves and other candidates.
More than 100 million wild animals are killed each year illegally.
What just happened there? What's going on with the wild animals, Carl?
I heard dead air for a long time, and then I'm like, uh-oh.
Why did you hear dead air?
I heard dead air for like 9 seconds.
That's weird. That, I don't know, are the Russians after us again?
Maybe.
I hope not. My point was that it nobody went for, this is what really makes me different. I mean, Suzanne Crouch with the whole, we're going to get rid of the income tax, that was an effort. But towards the end, she was saying, well, this is kind of what we already do. And we're already heading in that direction. So it didn't so much make her different. She pushed for it and then worked her way back from it. I don't know. I watched this election and said to myself, there's a lot to learn from this. There is a lot to learn from this race. A lot to learn about what these people did and how they acted. And ways to ensure that if you ever run for office, don't do it like this. You must have a stand. You must have a position. And you can't be afraid of it. You can't be like, well, people will kind of know I mean this and not say the words. That dog won't hunt. It simply doesn't work. But in a general, have no fear that the Democratic Party will screw it up. I mean, they're already out with the ads. You can't vote for extreme Mike Braun. Mike Braun thinks that interracial marriage should be left to the states. I saw that one yesterday. I was like, oh, this is going to be glorious. Mike Braun was in a conversation where he was discussing states' rights, and the question was something like interracial marriage, should that be brought to the states? And his argument was, well, if you follow the theory that states have rights, well, then yes. Oh, Lord. I mean, this is a problem with Braun in that he doesn't well work, I think, on his feet in these kinds of televised interviews. He doesn't say, well, that's a ridiculous question. Abortion is a state's rights issue. This is the argument that I have made for forever. If you want to go about actually arguing that somehow a black man marrying a white woman or a white man marrying a black woman should be left up to the states when we're having a conversation about something that is federal, well, then you're nutty, but go have a good time with that. I'm not getting anywhere near that, which is why I oppose the Obergefell decision. This is me talking personally, because they created the right to same-sex marriage out of whole cloth in the Supreme Court. When it was already winning in the states, go pass legislation and allow it and allow the tax benefits and everything else. Makes perfect sense to me. That's how you engage. That's how you answer. That's how you show yourself as rational and the question is madness. That's not where Braun lives and breathes. But this is the stuff that the Democrats are going to hit him with. Not the border, not inflation, not the economy. This, as I said, don't worry. The Democrats can screw this up. They already are. I'll catch you guys at noon. Matt Bear has traffic.
Northwest side, crash in 865. It's blocking the right shoulder. It's an overturned vehicle. Traffic stop and go beyond 86th Street. Inbound 69 stop and go from 106 down to 465. East side starting to slow a little bit again in that southbound 465 construction zone, so it's tight from Penn Pike down to I-70. Northbound 65 stop and go traffic from Keystone Avenue past Raymond Street. And on the southeast side, it is westbound 465. That slows from 74 to Arlington Avenue. A little bit of a drag on southbound 31 in Carmel from 116th to 111th. Traffic's sponsored by Sullivan Hardware and Garden this week at Sullivan Hardware and Garden. Get 30% off patio furniture, wicker, Merlin Gardens poly, gas, aluminum, teak, and more. I'm Matt Bear with Traffic on the Fives. Follow us at WIBC Traffic.
Whether it's audiobooks or all-time greatest hits, long live listening to your favorites. Learn more about Kisqali Ribociclib 200 milligrams at KISQALI.com and talk to your doctor to see if Kisqali is right for you.